have to be your biggest fan. And when things are really tough and they're really rough and nothing's working, but there's something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that. Because you don't know who you're going to be, who you're going to be, who you're going to be.
Welcome back to Better Days. Thank you for tuning in today. Strap yourselves in, guys. This episode is wow. Now, I know I say that every single time, but when I edited this episode, I just knew that it was going to speak to so many people. So I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for all the feedback on Better Days. Jerry and I have just adored putting this together. We have two episodes left after this one. So don't worry, there's a few more to come. And thanks for all the feedback, especially around the length of the episodes. We wanted it to be really digestible, really easy to listen to. So we are so glad that you are enjoying it. This podcast is brought to you with thanks to Simproof. Jerry and I are big fans of Simproof. We take it every single morning, so this feels like the perfect brand to work alongside Better Days. Made simple, Simproof is a gut health supplement with 94% of customers saying they feel a difference within 12 weeks. It's different to other digestive supplements, as its water-based solution means that billions of bacteria in each shot are alive and active. The bacteria do not trigger digestion and get to work right away. Stress and processed foods can cause us to have an imbalance of bacteria in our gut, and Simproof helps us rebalance. Good gut health contributes to so much more than your digestion. A healthy microbiome can also support your immune and hormone health, your mood, skin health, and energy levels too. A 12-week course is recommended to see the full benefits, and on Mars Pharmacy, when you purchase 8 weeks, you receive the final 4 weeks for free. Head over to marspharmacy.ie or click on the link in the show notes for more. Welcome back to the podcast today. I'm so excited, especially to talk about today's dilemma, because I think it's going to relate to a lot of people, and it is around work. And I'm excited for your take, Jerry. But first, before we get into it, I wanted to ask you, because I love hearing about your morning routine. So would you share that with us today?
Yeah, of course. No problem. And first thing I'd say about the morning routine is, it has to serve the needs of that moment. So I'll talk a little bit about that moment. So people think maybe that I have a routine that I do every day. I don't. I have time that I take every day, but the routine changes depending on the needs of that moment. So if I wake up and I'm highly anxious or I'm scared, I need a routine that can get me out of the sympathetic nervous system and into the parasympathetic nervous system. I know I need a routine that can dissolve the ego, get out of my thinking brain and into my heart. So that might be more yoga, more meditation. It could be something to do with self-compassion. Some mornings I wake up, I feel tired, I feel stuck, I feel lethargic. I need the opposite. I need something that's going to energize me and bring fun and laughter to me. And then some mornings I need to just analyze myself, analyze my stories. What's the story I'm telling myself about today? What's the story that is no longer relevant? So I think every morning you need to take time. The one thing I would say to everybody is exercise is everything. And when I talk about exercise, as you're probably sick of hearing me say at this point, Georgie, exercise is energize. Exercise isn't about how hard, how you can push yourself, how much you can flog yourself. It's not about a six pack. It's not about a body shape. Exercise is energize. Anything that energizes the mind, the body, the soul, it can be singing, dancing, pole dancing, Zumba dancing. It can be dancing around your kitchen. And then some mornings I would use affirmations. When I'm maybe high on self-doubt, I will use affirmations or I will use meditation. So I would say to people, take time every morning, but the routine has to honor what the greatest need at that moment is.
Say you live with somebody who does not get up and feel energized by the day, but you are.
I think the one thing we do is we control our response. So we can never control other people, and we can never control how people show up to us, but we absolutely control how we show up. If getting up in the morning energizes you, then that's what you have to do. So you have to put yourself in the best possible way to take on everybody every day. So in every situation, you have three options, A, C, or E. Accept and do nothing about it. C is change them or change you. or C is exit. And sometimes you, as people grow and their frequency changes and their mindset changes, people begin to realize this person's not willing to grow. They're not willing to change. They're trapped in a negative story. And you either accept it and you stay trapped in that story all your life, or you try help them change their story, or you change your response to them. So when you come back in the kitchen and they hit you with a wall of negativity, you realize that's their negativity, that's their story, that's their outlook on life. It's not mine. I'm not taking that on. I'm not getting sucked into their crap.
And when you say help somebody change, is that encouraging them to go deeper, or is that encouraging them to simply put on their runners and get out for a bit of exercise?
I think firstly, you have to become a living ambassador of what you want the world to be. And I think the slowest way to change anybody is to say, you know what you need to do now? You need to change. That just pisses everybody off. So just go do it. And if eventually your morning routines are leading to you being happier and you being healthier and your dreams are coming through, they're going to get curious. So first and foremost, the ultimate, people follow what you do. You can say all you want. You can give them advice. You just got to go do it. And then the odd time, you might challenge one of their stories. You might challenge one of their beliefs in a respectful way. Or you might say, see those conversations that we used to have? I'm not interested in those anymore. You can have them with anybody you want, but not me. You see that story? You see how you respond? So one of the ways you change people isn't telling them to change. It's giving them awareness. What if you were to ask that question? And there's a beautiful thing that I say with all my clients is, will you give me permission to give you a different perspective? Or question is, are you open to hearing a different perspective? Now, that's not saying your perspective is wrong, right, or indifferent, but it's a powerful question. Are you willing to allow me give you a different perspective? And you can only stay in, when you're in a state of calm and focus, you can keep that emotional boundary between you and them. So you challenge their stories respectfully, you challenge their beliefs, or sometimes you just replay. So I would often come back in and let's say I'm having a really bad day and I'm spewing negativity around the house. Murray might just say, Jerry, I've got up this morning. I spent a half an hour meditating. I've used my affirmations. We were both up all night last night with the kids. We were both tired, but I've worked hard. I've come in here. I've got the kids up. I've got them dressed. I've given them their porridge. And we're sitting here having a nice breakfast. And you're after coming in and ruining it. So here's your opportunity. Sit here and spew and we'll eat our breakfast somewhere else. Or go back out the door, take 10 seconds and come back in and join us. It's up to you.
Wow. I love that.
What myself and Miriam have done is we've given ourselves the permission to challenge each other's bullshit. I think that's what love is. And when we got together, we made a promise that we would love each other enough to set each other free from all stories, from all negativities. And sometimes that's a love and that's gentleness and that's holding each other's. And sometimes that's literally giving them a kick in the ass and saying, you're better than that. You've been telling me that old story for long enough now. And you know what? When you walk into the house, and what Miriam would often say to me is, particularly if I'm getting frustrated, she said, Jerry, our two kids are here. They're picking up on everything you're saying. They're picking up on your energy. Mm-hmm. And just be mindful of that. So a lot of people maybe think that I'm the strong one. Miriam is so strong, but she presents as gentleness, and she is gentle and kind and respectful. But she's the strongest human being I've ever met in my life. She is the most loving, the most kind. She knows what she expects from a partner. And she makes me honor that.
That's beautiful. When you were saying there about showing people, you know, being a good example, and then if you do it, then it's contagious and then other people start to do it. You know, Damien Brown, he rowed across the Atlantic.
Mm. Yeah, great guy.
He's amazing. And he told this story once that always stuck with me. I'd love your take on it. But he spoke about a piece of tissue. And he said, you're at the center of the tissue. And in one side, one corner of the tissue is your kids. In the other corner of the tissue is your parents. In another corner of the tissue is your friends. And then in the fourth corner of the tissue are people who you don't speak to that often, but they're observing your life from the outside in. So like your neighbors or people on social media. And he said, you're at the center of the tissue. You're doing the work. You're showing up for yourself every day. You're accountable. And as you do the work, the center of the tissue lifts up. And you're at the center and you're lifting up and up and up. And what happens to the four corners of the tissue? Well, they rise with you. So the things that you do, every positive thing that I do for myself, I'm so aware that my little girl, Pia, is watching me. And I pray to God that she will then do that for herself one day.
Yeah, of course. And it's a lovely analogy. And for me, like, what do we all say to our children? We always say, love yourself for who you are. Don't compare yourself to other people. Follow your dreams. Be kind and stand up for what you believe in. And they're going to look at you and say, right, is that what you do? Are you in a job that you don't believe in? Are you living a life of playing it safe? Do you and dad really challenge each other in a relationship? So very often we have dreams. The lessons you're teaching your children are not the things you tell them. They're how you live your life. They see you in the morning. They see the actions that you take. They see the way you speak to each other as a couple. They see how many times you hold each other's hand. They hear how many times you say, I love you. They see how many times forgiveness is practiced in the house. They see every day humanity unfolding. And as a parent, the most challenging thing we do, we're teaching people how to be humans. So whatever dream you have for your children, whatever advice you would give to your children, you have to live it, because they're going to forget what you told them, but they will never forget the example you set. So for me, I just focus on being the best version of myself. I focus on being free, following my dreams. So I don't know what my children's dreams are, and I never try to tell them. But in the way I live my life, I want them a dad who believes in himself, who follows his dreams, who surrounds himself with incredible people, who has the courage to speak his truth, to stand up for what he believes in. Because if I don't do that in my life, then I have no point telling my kids to do that, because they're not going to know. We have to show them what is. So for me, practicing kindness and love and staying healthy, and it's so important, because that's what I'm teaching my kids.
Okay, so let's get into the first dilemma. I think you'll like this one, Jerry. I completely regret my career decision to do nursing. Although I've made wonderful friends over the years, I found the pay doesn't match the huge responsibility and sleepless nights worrying. The elders eat their eager young, and sometimes I feel like I am surrounded by a lot of bitching. I've had no IBS symptoms since going on my maternity leave, but I have no idea if I don't go back, what else I could do instead. I'm master qualified. I have 4 nursing degrees in total and now a baby. I feel it's all been a total waste, and I couldn't imagine studying again to qualify in something entirely new. I'm devastated for myself.
So I would say the as always, the answer is in the question. So this lady's, or it's a lady out maternity leave, has a baby. So let's imagine it's a few years down the road, and I'd ask this lady to think about their child. I'm not sure if it's their son or their daughter, but their child comes to them and says this: I'm in a career. So they say, Mammy, I'm in a career that I hate. I'm being bullied. I made the wrong choice and I know it. And it's now making my life hell, and it's making me sick. Do you think I should leave it? Now, as a mother, what is the answer you would give? Absolutely. And what if your daughter or your son said, but I don't know what I'm going to do next? What would you say to your, leave anyway, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That's the answer. That's the answer. So you're in a career you don't like, where you're being disrespected by your elders. You're never going to make the money you think you should be making. It's making you physically ill, and you're asking if you should leave. You've already answered. You know you should. The real question is, can you give yourself the freedom to follow your heart? Do you love yourself enough to say yes to life? And the moment you step out of this current environment, a new one will appear But as long as your energy, your attention, and your thoughts are consumed by your current environment, you have no time or space to manifest a new one. You don't need to step from one career into another. And sometimes we don't really need to know where we're going. We just need to know this is no longer it. That's the first. Once you make that decision, and once your heart and soul says to the universe, I am ready for a change, absolutely, then the change appears. But if you're saying to the universe, I think I'm ready for a change, I don't know if I am, maybe I am, the universe is going to say, go away from me, stop annoying me, and when you make up your mind, come back to me. So this person has to make up their mind. There's not a conceivable reason why I think you'd stay in that career. You've just told me you don't like it. It's causing you immense stress, and now it's making you physically ill. You've answered the question, and all I would say is to double check, reframe by saying, if this was my daughter or if this was my son in this position, as a loving parent, what would I tell them? Then love yourself enough to give yourself the freedom to take the same answer.
The fact that she is aware enough even to realize, wait a minute, my IBS symptoms have gone away here. Because I think a lot of us, we live with that kind of dis-ease without even noticing. Like when I look back at photos of me before I got sick, I feel like my whole, everything about me is screaming that I was sick. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see because it chipped away at me year after year after year that I couldn't see the wood from the trees by the end of it.
It's an amazing situation where airplane crashes. Now, I'm flying an extra day, so maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but when you get the gift of helping pilots, you know, understand crisis environments, and you get to listen to black box recorders, when you listen to the black box, and you listen to words that are used, you listen to the tone, you listen to the panic, or you listen to the tiredness in the pilot's voice, you realize that 5 to 10 minutes before the crash, you probably knew it was going to happen. There was something that was missed. There's an incredible book called Outliers, written by Malcolm Gladwell. And he takes this idea of pilots, and he has a full chapter on it. And he says in 99.9% of airplane crashes, they're human error. And the human error was evident long before the plane crashed. And when you listen, so certain flights, some pilots started off, and on the runway before they took off, they were saying, yeah, I'm not even meant to be this. I rostered in at the last minute and, you know, I was flying all this. And they've nearly said, I'm exhausted. I shouldn't be here, but I'm going to try and give it a go. There's an amazing story where a pilot, one of the most decorated pilots in this airlines industry, was about to take off. It was a very frosty condition. He had a young, inexperienced number two beside him. But the number two was aware that there was too much ice in the wing. But he didn't really want to call out the number one because he was presuming he saw it. But then, when nothing was being done, just as they were about to move, he said, I better say something. So the first thing he says to the pilot is, it's very cold out there tonight, isn't it? Hoping that might jog him. The pilot says nothing. So number two then says, there's quite a bit of ice out there. He's still ignored. And the third thing he says is, I was certain we're okay to take off. And on all three occasions, the number one never responded. He wasn't interested. The plane took off and crashed 90 seconds later because the ice didn't allow the flap to do what it was meant to do. So when we look back over our own life, Georgie, and we listen to ourselves, when we look at the photographs, when we look into our eyes, it's there. It's evident. When you listen to your stories, when you listen to the way that lady explained her job, just get the hell out of it. Very often what we have to do is take time, and this is an exercise I do with clients. I get them to sit, imagine they're in front of a big screen in a cinema, and I imagine the screen comes on and it's replaying their life to them over the last 6 months. And I get them to look at the way they were showing up, their energy, the stories in their head, the food they're eating, how hard they're pushing, the sleep they're getting. And I just ask them to say, you know, if that was a movie, what would the title of that movie be? And then I get them to zone in and I ask them to look into your eyes. What do you see in your eyes? The answers are right in front of us. People sometimes think, Jerry, you have some type of sixth sense. I haven't. I just written all over people. You're tired. You're exhausted. You're full of fear. You're in the wrong job. You're eating the wrong food. You're not taking time for yourself. So just like Malcolm Gladwell's realization that very often before the disaster happens, it was evident if somebody just listened and observed. And if we just listen and observe ourselves and we listen to our heart, the answers are already there.
A big thanks to Simpru for supporting Better Days. I must say my days are better and brighter when I start with my little tiny shot of Simpru first thing in the morning. Over 100,000 people start their day with it, and I even take it away with me when I'm traveling. So I get rid of all those extra pairs of shoes to make room for my Simpru, and I have to say my gut is very happy about that. So let's take some reviews. Simpru have 5,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. One person said, I've been wanting to try Simpru for a few months, and now that I have, I'm convinced. I have so much more energy. My stomach issues are much improved. I definitely recommend. Another said, I had been feeling sluggish and unmotivated for a while. A friend told me about Simpru and how it really gives her a daily boost. I ordered it straight away, and I have to say it made a huge difference to both my energy and productivity levels. I would highly recommend it. So head over to marspharmacy.ie or click on the link in the show notes to get 4 weeks of your 12-week course for free. If you're feeling stuck in a decision, is there a way that you can find clarity? Like if you're unsure what the right thing to do is?
I think it's what, how, why, and when. So my is always make a big decision. If you want to know if the parachute works, jump out of the airplane. No, that's not for everybody. Miriam is the opposite. So Miriam knew that as a pharmacist, her time was up. She'd probably seen the industry for what it was, and it wasn't meeting her needs at that time. Doesn't mean it's not a great industry. It is. It doesn't mean that it's not a great job. Of course it is. But Miriam decided it's no longer for me. Now, while she was discovering, well, what might be, she started doing some stuff on the side. She started doing some talks, exploring some stuff. And over the course of a few years, she finally got to a point where she was like 80% her pharmacist, 20% doing talks. Then that was 70-30. And she was very lucky that she had an incredible boss that allowed that. And then she got to a point where she kind of knew what her message was. She knew what she wanted to do. She had tried certain things. Her life vision had appeared, and then she stepped out. So there's two ways of doing it. One is me. I just rip the bandaid off and say, right, create the need, and I'll find a way. Or then it could be a 3 or 4 year process. So the first decision might be I'm leaving this career, but the question is when, and that might be 3 years' time. It could be 5 years' time. But knowing that you're not in this for the rest of your life, knowing that you have a ticket out, knowing that you have a pathway to your dreams, even that, even though that might be 5 years down the road, that brings a freedom. It brings an excitement. So there's two ways you can do it. You have to find the way that works for you. You have to try new things, explore new things, but you have to start re-dreaming up a new dream. I think people need to realize that the two things you never give up on is your health and your dreams, because that's all that matters.
Like you said, that lady, when she was writing that, she knows the answer. I think it's time to maybe close one chapter and step into the next.
Yeah, and I would say just for her, a blank piece of paper, and don't start by asking what's the new job. Wrongly, when we were at school, we're told pick a career and then build your life around the career. Nonsense. So before she goes thinking about what's my new career, on a blank piece of paper, ask what's the lifestyle that I want. So Miriam did that a few years ago, and we said, well, we want to be able to live in the sunshine for half the year. So that means we need a business that is mobile. It can't be a business that is reliant on me being in a certain place at a certain time. It can't be 9 to 5. So when you start to look at what's the lifestyle, do you want to travel? Do you want to be able to work abroad? Do you want to be able to earn money while you sleep? Do you want to be able to earn money virtually? Do you want to be able to climb mountains? Do you want to take people up mountains? Do you want to run workshops? Like, what do you want to do? But it has to be a lifestyle. We wrongly pick a career and then we have to squeeze our lifestyle around that, which is nonsense. So some people become, you know, lawyers, which is an incredible career. And I probably would have liked it myself. I love the whole idea of it. But then you can't really travel the world because the law is different in every country. So you have to ask, what is the expression of myself and what's the career? So as a psychologist, you know, as I'm training, nobody taught me how to do events. Nobody taught me about podcasts. I'm still struggling with you today to come on with technology. So you might be a nurse. But what would the greatest expression of your skill and passion look like? What about being a nurse in a totally different way? What about being an accountant in a totally different way? So sometimes we get linked to, I'm an accountant or I'm an electrician, so I have to work in a certain way. But that's the old architecture. Did anyone think, no one told me that I'd be speaking at wellness festivals and I'd be selling out the National Concert Hall and we'd be doing podcasts. I mean, there was no podcasts when I was in college. There was no internet hardly. So like, you have to think outside the traditional model. Let's say you're an accountant. What would a camp look like where couples came on the camp for 3 or 4 days to map out their financial future? And that might be people that are about to have children, people about to buy a house. And they just took 3 or 4 days to get their head clear and map out their financial future. So like you have to, that's why you have to think, what's the lifestyle I want? If I want to travel, if I want to climb mountains, if I want to snowboard, if I want to be in the Swiss Alps, well, then you got to find a career that allows you to do that. Please do not go into a career and then try build your life around it. That's putting the cart before the horse.
That is so mind-blowing, yet so simple. So she says, I've 4 nursing degrees in total. And the way that she is writing that email, it's like she is saying it's all been a big waste. But maybe she still wants to be a nurse deep in her heart. She just needs to find another way to use her degree or another way to care for people that is not in the traditional nursing form.
Of course, of course. And like, if she likes, maybe she chose the wrong career. So that's up to her. If you chose the wrong career, don't be worried about it. Because some people say, oh, well, I'm 30 now. By the time I'm qualified, I'm going to be 35. Well, you're going to be 35 anyway. So you're either 30, qualified in something you love, about to begin a whole new career, or you're going to be 35, still trapped in something. So even if the career is not for you, accept it, move on. W-I-N, what's important now. But just think about your passion, your joy, and think about what would the greatest nurse in the world look like? A nurse that makes 5 million a year, what would that look like? A nurse that runs podcasts, a nurse that would run, I don't know, I mean, workshops for children online, for parents, first day, I don't know what it is. But you got to just really think outside the box. So you have a unique skill set, you have a special skill set, you have a passion, but you also have a heart's calling to live a certain life. And if you choose a career that goes against your heart calling, then you're trapped. You have to follow your heart's calling and then create the career that fits into that.
What's that expression you say sometimes? We're often one question short of
a major breakthrough.
Yeah. But even sitting down with a blank piece of paper is a step that we often don't even go to, and it could lead to a major breakthrough.
I'd start by saying, let's say it's the 5th of January, 2027. You wake up, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be living? What house would you like to live in? What type of person would you like beside you in the bed? What type of work would you like to go do that day? You have to create it. You have to write it down. Like everything that's in my life, at one point I've wrote down. And at the moment I wrote it down, maybe part of my head said, that's not possible. And probably 50 other people said, it's not possible. But I'm like, I'm not listening to that. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to paint it. And that's how we prime the reticular activating system. Reticular activating system is the part of the brain that's to do with attention. So the brain it can't think of everything that's possible all the time. So we're probably consciously blind to 50% of the possibilities in the world at any given moment. So if I'm thinking about red car, red car, red car, red car every day, then I'm going to see more red cars tonight. If I'm thinking about red car. So when you You know, we all know how social media works. When you click something, you like something, you watch a video, you express an interest. The social media platform recognizes that. It sends you more of what you're interested in and it deletes what you're not interested in. Target marketing. We know how that works. The reticular activating system in the brain is the exact same. It's listening to what you think about. It's listening to what you speak about. It's listening to what you dream about. And it thinks you're interested in that and alone. So that floods your feed. That floods. But the stuff that you're not thinking about, the stuff you're not writing down, the stuff you're not dreaming about gets disappeared. So the more we set vision boards, the more we speak affirmations, the more we paint the life we want, we're loading the brain and the reticular activating system to go and find cues that will match this. And suddenly opportunities start to appear. And it's like, we think, God, this opportunity just appeared. It didn't just appear. It has been there for a year and a half. You just never saw it because you weren't looking for it. So when you start to consciously look for something, it's amazing how much appears.
Every time I bring a dilemma to you, Jerry, we end up somewhere just so inspiring. And thank you so much for your time on this podcast today. And I'm excited for our next dilemma.
My pleasure. Thank you.
A huge thank you for listening to Better Days Today. Wherever you are listening, if you wouldn't mind giving us a 5-star review, we would appreciate that so, so much. Hit that follow button. And most importantly, if you think somebody would benefit from listening to this episode today, please make sure to send it on to them. Jerry's next event is taking place at the Johnstown Estate. I will leave a link for tickets in the show notes. And my course, the 7-day setup, is now live on the Google.glow.ie. You can sign up at any point in January, and we've been getting some incredible reviews from that. So 10 minutes a day is all you need. Head over to theglowglow.ie for more. We'll see you next time.
You have to be your biggest fan. And when things are really tough and they're really rough and nothing's working, but there's something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that, because you don't know who you're going to